My guest at this time is syndicated columnist and prolific author Ann Coulter. Her most recent book is Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. And Ann, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it's interesting that our interview is scheduled for today since it comes just a day after this video that came out from the Daily Caller and Fox News Channel. It's a tape that, if people haven't seen it yet, is Senator Obama from June of 2007 speaking, I believe, at a function in Chicago, certainly a predominantly black audience. And he goes on to talk about a number of things, including lavish praise for Reverend Wright at the time and why there shouldn't be more roads in the suburbs and should be more investment in the inner city and so forth. Here is his explanation of what he sees as a bias difference in how the government responds to disasters in predominantly white and black areas.
When Hurricane Andrew struck in Florida, people said, look at this devastation. We don't expect you to come up with your own money. Here's the money to rebuild. We're not going to wait for you to scratch it together because you're part of the American family. What's happening down in New Orleans? Where's your dollar? Where's your Stafford Act money? Makes no sense. Tells me the bullet hasn't been taken out. Tells me that somehow the people down in New Orleans, they don't care about as much.
He's referring to the Stafford Act, which normally requires local communities to kick in about 10% of the recovery costs. And he says those were excused in the wake of 9/11 and Hurricane Andrew, not so with New Orleans. And as you absorb all of this, is this a really significant moment in this campaign? Do you think this is telling us something that we don't already know about this president?
I just want to know where he got that accent. Is that how they talk in Hawaii? He sounds like Hillary doing the black Southern accent. It's so fake. It's as fake as his 70% of fake Twitter followers. No, he was a sitting senator, and in fact, the Gulf states had already been sent months earlier, five times more than New York City was sent after 9/11. He knew what he was saying was untrue. Yeah, I think it is pretty outrageous to be lying to an audience of black preachers, telling them America doesn't care about them, doesn't consider them part of the American family, and citing false facts to make that point.
As people look at this, some say this could change the dynamics of this race. Others say this probably would have had a much bigger impact 4 years ago when we weren't looking at a record of this president in office rather than what he might be in office. What do you make of that debate?
I don't think McCain had a chance. in any circumstances, and Americans were caught up in the idea of electing the first half-black president. More white people voted for Barack Obama in 2008 than had voted for any Democrat for president in nearly 40 years, so obviously that had an effect, apart from the incompetence of our candidate, John McCain. But now I think people are looking for a reason to not vote for Barack Obama, which is why I think the debates will be important tonight, simply for Mitt Romney to show that he is articulate and competent. And, yeah, he's a square, but we could use a square right now. People are comfortable with Mitt Romney. That will do a world of good. I think a lot of Americans were just avoiding looking at the things they didn't want to see about Barack Obama in 2008 because they wanted to have the first black president.
We're talking with Ann Coulter. The book is Mugged, and Ann, let's talk about this now. You start off in the book by talking about how the Democrats were the ones pushing segregation, pushing Jim Crow laws, and eventually when they saw that it wasn't a winning political strategy, they decided to get out in front of the integration movement. How did they do that, and why do you believe that the facts, as you lay them out in the book, are not exactly the traditional narrative?
Well, that's only a small part of the book. The main part is how racial demagoguery has produced utter disaster for this country, going back to the golden age of racial demagoguery in the 70s and 80s when, you know, anytime a white cop shot a black teenager, we would have months of soul searching and hand wringing, and then it would eventually come out that, oh yeah, he was mugging the cop, or he did jump the cop, and then the story would just fade away from the news pages, but the media would never learn. They just jump on the next one over and over and over again, and this turmoil that was certainly doing nothing to improve black neighborhoods finally ended with the OJ verdict, when white America saw a mostly black jury acquit an obviously guilty black celebrity, white America just said, that's it. The white guilt bank is shut down. Hope O.J. was worth it. That's the end. And it was a great thing to happen for America, but best of all, it was the best thing that happened to black Americans because they were no longer being coddled by the country. They were still being coddled by liberals who have been dying to get back in the game and were delighted when Barack Obama came along so they could get back in the game. So Obama's candidacy has brought us right back to the racial demagoguery of the 70s and 80s that was so detrimental to the country, to our cities, to black neighborhoods in particular, and to black advancement. So the entire book, and I cut it down and wanted to keep it as short as possible to have people read it before the election, it is to tell Americans racial demagoguery has always been a disaster. White guilt has never produced anything good, so don't make the same mistake in 2012 that you made in 2008.
So you're saying a specific election result could fundamentally change our cultural discourse here?
Sure. I mean, it's not as if liberals actually care about black people. What they like about Obama is that he's the most liberal president the nation has ever seen. And because he is half black and brought up in Hawaii with no history of Jim Crow, no existence of it for someone born in 1961, still in all, he's half black, so this allows liberals to mau-mau any critics of Obama. If you're against Obamacare, if you're against the stimulus bill, if you don't support voting for Obama, you are a racist. And liberals love calling other people racist. Everyone in America is racist except white liberals, who are the truest friends a black person has ever had.
Anne, you used the word coddled a little while ago. Explain in a little more detail what you mean by that.
Well, I mean that. I mean, I compare various crimes. Most of it's criminal cases I discuss in the first third of the book, a lot of little synopses of some of the greatest hits. No one rushed in to defend Robert Chambers, the white alleged preppy who raped and was convicted, I guess, of murdering Jennifer Levin in Central Park. Around the same time, every black criminal would instantly be adjudged innocent by the press, and it was, you know, racist prosecutors, the Klan on the NYPD, and the Klan in the prosecutor's office pushing this unjust prosecution, no matter how overwhelming the evidence was. And it did lead to a state where you had even black law students at a respected law school, Howard University, cheering the acquittal of a black criminal, of a black murderer, of a black double murderer, O.J. How did that come about? It's not as if white people are cheering for Jeffrey Dahmer to get off or go Charles Manson. It's really an ugly attitude that was nurtured and developed by white liberals and imparted to the black community.
You also talk about kind of the dependency culture that certainly Mitt Romney has addressed, both at fundraisers and elsewhere. You talk about how if you look at Dr. King's rallies in the early to mid-60s, you see very well-dressed people. You saw intact families at the time, and then the government programs came in and changed things. First of all, do you believe the disintegration of the family was something that they foresaw? And secondly, what specifically led from these programs to that disintegration?
Yes, an interesting fact early in my book is that for most of the 20th century, blacks had a higher rate of marriage than white people did. Higher rate. It wasn't until the Great Society programs came along, and, you know, why were black people more susceptible to it? Well, you know, they had been in slavery. They had been subjected to the Jim Crow laws. You were starting, it is as if they were new immigrants to America. So you have by and large, people starting at the bottom rungs of society who have the farthest to advance, and instead of going through the hard knocks education of the Irish immigrants or Italian immigrants, no, liberals rush in to help, and their help was to destroy the black family. The Great Society programs were more of a disaster for the black family, at least, than slavery was. Marriages were still, the concept of marriage was still pretty strong after slavery. Thomas Sowell describes recently freed slaves walking across states to try to find their families, entire states. Even back in Africa, when African slave traders were taking slaves, there are stories of women holding on to their husbands and having to be whipped to release them. You had a strong tradition of marriage in the black family, and what ruined it? Liberals helping. Liberals ministering to black people, not because they care about black people. They care about government workers and solid Democratic voters.
And you mentioned before that people have a chance to change what they did in 2008 here in 2012, whether it's through a Mitt Romney victory or just a change in the national discourse. What will trigger that change?
I'd hesitate to say we need another OJ verdict and blacks cheering it. I would like people to read my book. I think Americans just being understanding the true history. For one thing, no Republican has anything to be embarrassed about. Republicans, as you mentioned at the beginning, that's mostly covered in Chapter 14 of my book. It wasn't even sort of the highlight of the book, but I just took a detour to remind, but I guess most people don't know, to remind people of the sterling civil rights record of the Republican Party. Curiously enough, most of all, by the Republicans most hated by Democrats, Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew, Joe McCarthy, all the Democratic segregationists in the Senate, not only insisted on segregating blacks and not allowing them into their restaurants, but were also Joe McCarthy's biggest opponents. They were not conservative Democrats. They were liberal Democrats on all the issues of their day. And, you know, right before the Civil War, only 8% of white people held slaves. So the idea that all white people are guilty, no, liberal Democrats are guilty. And if we're willing to forgive liberal Democrats, let's all just move on now.
And we'll have to stop there. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Ann Coulter, syndicated columnist, prolific author. Her latest book is Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.